Welcome back, everybody, to Michael Harris Live. Our special guest today is an old friend of mine, Debbie Japong, a television journalist. She's worked in print. She's worked in radio. She's a Renaissance woman. She's able to do all of it. And one thing I would say, Debbie, is not many people in the business can cross over as easily or as gracefully as you have done. But I always had the suspicion that your true passion was for writing. And I also think that writing a book, much more gratifying, having done it a few times, than almost anything else that you can do. I remember that in the, in the case of the Donald Marshall book, that was my first book, it was the realization that it could never be told in a news story. It could never be told in a lengthy magazine article. And you realize that the subtleties and nuances are actually where the truth ends up residing.
Yes.
And that you can't munch the truth into a format that is less full than the truth itself. But there is another question, another side to this thing, because I remember back to some of the discussions we used to have in those days. You have always been an unabashed Christian, and I have seen in my lifetime, in terms of doing this job and other jobs, for some reason, and this is my personal opinion, Christians get bashed. Many other religions get our full respect, but Christians, for some reason or another, people are laying in wait. And I know that in the world of journalism, that was a factor in your case. The fact that you had strong religious beliefs actually had, would I be correct in saying, a negative impact on some of your colleagues?
It depended on the cast of characters. And when I started out in journalism, I had an adult conversion. So I had been through the whole hippie, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll sort of thing. So I fit in very well if I used my chameleonic techniques. And so in the early years, I kind
chameleonic.
Of,
what a euphonious word.
Well, it was just I could fit in, and by keeping my mouth shut, I got to the point.
But
where,
why was there pressure on you to keep your mouth shut? What upset them about somebody who had religious beliefs?
Well, it was.
Did they think it colored your news judgment or what?
I think that.
It couldn't have, because you invited me on some shows.
That's right. Yeah. No, it. I think that there's that whole idea of objectivity, and newsrooms would be hesitant to hire somebody who is an activist in an environmental group, for instance. So they're very careful about having people who they consider to be objective. So I had to prove that I had that ability and gain my a track record and so on before I started being more open about my faith. I was always, though, the voice crying in the wilderness, or the dissonant voice in story meetings. And many times I'd have executive producers who welcomed that. So I had a lot of very good experiences at the CBC. But on the other hand, I sometimes had people that didn't welcome this. And I remember a discussion we had long, long ago about the whole abortion issue. And you had done a documentary about it, and you were appalled by the reaction of people to this documentary that you had done. And I remember one time bringing up
It was the biggest audience ever in the history of Newfoundland looking at a documentary. They thought it was a prize-winning documentary because it was seen in Toronto as being on the wrong side of the political spectrum. It was banned from the network.
Yes.
So it was quite a shock.
Yes, yes. And so, well, I mean, we, back in the days when, I mean, we first started talking around the time when you were working on the Donald Marshall stuff, when my byline was Deborah Waters and I was a casual contract employee with the CBC in Halifax. And there was a very, very narrow spectrum of allowed opinion back then.
And very true.
You were one of the few people that was pushing the envelope on that and wanting to open up the spectrum of debate. Remember when the Reform Party came on? They were called dinosaurs, racists, and so on. And so there has been a change. There has been a widening. And And this was, you know, it was very difficult to be somebody who looked at things differently. I think it's a little
funny.
Better now. But
it was very funny when the Reform Party came along. I remember saying to myself, this whole group of people is being whitewashed with the same brush by a group of people who think they're more sophisticated, that somehow fear these people, came from the West. And I think most especially feared them because they thought that they had a private, religious Christian right agenda. I guess as opposed to corrupt politicians, I saw no problem with that if that's what they had. But when I took the trouble to meet Preston Manning, right, and follow him and listen to his speeches, I realized that, first of all, the objectivity of the Central Canadian press was really the issue, not Preston Manning's credibility. This was a guy who was a passionate Canadian, a brilliant historian of this country, a person who looked at the failures of the Mulroney conservative movement and would have been happy to vote conservative, except that conservatives had bailed out on conservatives,
right,
and that they created a party to do what they actually promised that they would do, and I think transformed our politics. But what I think is the problem, not just in the Reform Party, but also all of the great social issues that we have, is that there is getting to be a narrowing band again. This is where I would disagree with you. I see less inclination to discuss openly things that in the old days we would have had trouble fighting the political correctness of it. Today, if you want to talk about the root causes of terrorism, for example, as opposed to who won the last battle outside of Kandahar, you're going to get a lot of heat for that. If you want to talk about what would be a better way of, President Karzai has said, let's rethink how we're fighting terrorism. You're killing too many of my people. You say that, and suddenly people are saying, what are you? Are you a traitor to your country's cause? I find less tolerance, and I found it very strange that a lot of the intolerance focuses on people with religious views.
Yes, yes. And to the whole, and it does seem like it is still okay to be open season on Christians. And I think some of that has to do with the fact that people still assume that we're a majority Christian country, but we're not. People who actually practice their faith, whether they're Catholic or evangelical, are a pretty small minority, especially in Canada. And
that's fascinating. John Wright and Daryl Bricker of Ipsos Reid have written a book called What Canadians Think. And in that book, they point out statistically 77% people in this country are Christian.
Right.
But then when you actually look at the number of people who attend, who observe, the number plummets like a stone, unlike the United States, which is very high in terms of weekly attendance and all the rest, right, in observance. Canadians seem to think that they don't need a middleman to be in touch with God, but they still call themselves Christians.
Right. There's a big tendency for people to want to be spiritual rather than religious and this sort of thing. And what I am hoping that my book can do is touch on some of that spiritual hunger that people have, but also address it from the point of view of people who have been hurt by religion. Because, and this is part of the reason why the Defilers could potentially be a controversial book, is that the main character, who is a Mountie, was sexually abused by a priest when she was 13 years old, growing up in Boston. And when we meet her in Nova Scotia 30 years later, after she's emigrated, she's moved to Nova Scotia to find balance in her life. She wants to set up a home. She realizes she's a workaholic. And instantly, first day in her new posting, she meets this strange pastor whose house has been firebombed in a community of shacks and trailers where there's a criminal subculture. And she soon suspects him of child abuse in that community and eventually of murder. And she breaks in on him after an extensive investigation, building up evidence against him. And while he's conducting an exorcism of a little girl from that community, and she's certain she's caught him in an act of abuse of this child, because we've all read news stories about exorcisms that are botched, or where children or people die because of strange things that are done to them. They're held down or suffocated.
The exorcism of Emily Rose.
Yeah. And so anyway, she, instead of being able to act on this, she spirals into what she at first thinks is a nervous breakdown. She becomes suicidal. She can't work anymore. She's hearing voices in her head, all sorts of problems. And because of what had happened to her as a child, she has no paradigm for anything supernatural. She's totally dismissed that. That's like realizing that Santa Claus is, as she says in the opening, you know, is Uncle Fred in a red fat suit, and, you know, get over it if, you know, it's just not true.
Yeah.
And so she is very anti-religious when we meet her first in the story. So she gradually realizes, though, that she has a supernatural problem and that she has to find this God that she no longer believes in. And the only person who seems able to help her is this pastor, who's her chief suspect. So the book it relates a lot in some ways to what we've been talking about how we have prejudices and we have assumptions about other people, about places, about groups, and that we don't always see clearly. We don't, and she had to find healing of what had happened to her from her past before she could see who was good and who was evil. But by the time she does, everything has, the evil has extended beyond that community and threatens everything in her life.
Very, very well said. And one of the things, folks, if you take a look at the genre of Christian novels, Christian novelists, in the early days of the format, it was like a Harlequin novel starring Jesus. This book, The Defilers, deals with some of life's darkest problems and some of the most powerful psychic forces that go through a person. This is not a paint-by-numbers pretty picture, but a book that is well worth reading. And it's very interesting. This book wins the top prize in its genre for the first novel that you've written. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you a little bit more about this book and then about your future plans, because I know that you're not finished. You're listening to Michael Harris Live. My special guest is Deborah Japong. If you are a Christian, you want to have a great read, or if you are a person thinking about your spirit, which all too often these days people are not doing, they're too busy watching World Cup or something else, you need to take a look at this book. It's called The Defilers. It's by Debbie Japong, and I'm going to come back with the author right after these important messages.